You're such an asshole.
So we got a hard one from our Katie, which he never sends me easy ones. Worse than that, he pays for them too. It's going to be $3,000. Okay. Like, damn it. The go away price, but he never goes away. He's always that persistent Ashkenazi Jewish agent in the field. Arcady writes, where is it? I have a new request for a video response. Please name the price. What are the origins of political correctness in the United States and specifically in California? How did it become acceptable to smile when you are angry, to say it's not a big deal when it is a big deal, and to act so diplomatic with friends at work, etc.? I believe you are in a great position to address this as someone who's been directly benefiting from delivering brute honesty to clients who crave it, as they should, Arcady. So I had to sit down. I also had to take notes, and I listened to several videos. If you search the origins of political correctness, some right or leaning or just simply not leftist academics and interviews have, they kind of settled on one narrative about that origin. I don't mean narrative in a pejorative sense. The consensus is it came from here. So I'm going to tell you what the consensus is and why I disagree with it, and where I think political correctness is more of a byproduct of innate human laziness and economic success, although certainly helped with Marxist leftist forces. So let me pull up my notes here. All right. So the prevailing theory, or the common wisdom, is that after the revolution in Russia and the Soviets and Marxism and all that, they were thinking, okay, communism will just naturally happen, which I happen to agree with. And they were expecting that to happen, and World War One came along, and through some weird philosophy, academics say, and that proved communism wouldn't work. I'm like, what? Okay, fine. All right. And so the Marxists at the time were like, well, that war shouldn't have happened according to Marxist theory, and Marxist theory has to work no matter how many times we're proven wrong. So instead of through economic channels, we're going to have to work through, you know, they had class warfare. It was going to be the rich and the poor, the bourgeoisie versus the proletariat, the haves and the have-nots. They said, well, until we could get the underclass to revolt against the higher, this isn't going to work. Because, you know, it's more important that their ideology work, even though most of these people are dead now, all of them. And we need to starve more and more people and ruin economies. But anyway. And so then there comes the Frankfurt School, which existed. I'm not saying it doesn't, but I don't think it was necessarily this all determining force. It certainly did influence academia in the United States. So Frankfurt School, so, oh gosh, we got to get out of here. Here come the Nazis, and they come to the United States, and they were going to call it like the Institute for Marxism, but then, oh, that would be bad PR. Marxists will never tell you they're Marxists because they want to steal your stuff. That's how simple it is. Don't make it more complicated than that. That's it. That literally is what it is. So we're the Frankfurt School. And they said, all right, Americans kind of like being Americans. They're doing pretty good. The culture's pretty stable. We have to undermine the culture, not the economy, through greed and envy. And what they came up with was cultural Marxism. And among many other things, what they would do is they would divide society along race was one thing, sex was another. It came up with things like environmentalism, like there's always a crisis and all that. But I'd like to think one thing I've had contributed to this is it has nothing to do with race or sex or your sexual preference. It's traits. That's what it is, because you don't have to work for traits. You either were born with them or you claim you have them. And so according to conventional wisdom, or the prevailing theory, is that as the Frankfurt School and the Marxists started to push this, they started pushing through the universities, more so in the 60s and 70s with the Cultural Revolution back then. These professors now become professors that taught me. Now we have a big push for diversity. And starting in about the 90s, where it's like, whoa, hey, you know, we have some racial, sexual, environmental, whatever other problems. And if you, and here's the hypocrisy, if you are against these things, well, then you hate that group of people with that trait. You're a bigot, essentially. racist, sexist, homophobic, doesn't matter. you're and most people are, and that's where the thing is, I don't want to be called. I'm not that. And you really aren't. You just, no, I don't want to do. I'm for whatever that type of person, this type of person. Why would I be in? And so what that does is it shuts you up because what political correctness basically allows people to do is hide behind, basically hide their illegal and ethical and otherwise evil behavior behind a trait they have, right? So political correctness was basically, ooh, you're hurting people's feelings and you're pointing out the emperor has no clothes, right? So let's say you're a thief. Doesn't matter what traits you were born with. You're a thief. You're stealing whatever, money. Okay, you're burglaring houses. You rob people. You burgle houses. You're the Hamburglar. All right, you're burgling houses. Let's say you happen to be black, and people come in and say, "Hey, you shouldn't be doing. Hey, you're just discriminating against because I'm black." No, it's because you're a thief. But other people are like, whoa, no, I'm not saying. We're oppressed, and then now more modernly, every possible excuse how everyone is just completely helpless and a twig in the stream, not even a stream, a roaring river, and nothing's your fault, all because of the traits. And as far as I've been concerned, I could tell, it's just to excuse bad behavior. And then this even goes so far with the fragile people today, where anything that is deemed offensive is bad. And most normal, healthy people, they don't want to be accused of bigotry. They also don't want to be bigots. Most people aren't. And they also don't want to be mean because that's impolite. Oh, God, I offended someone. Oh, I don't want to offend someone. And now what that happens is like, hey, stop doing that because it's bad for you. It's bad for society. You don't, I'm offended. Oh, God, I'm sorry. Keep doing the bad thing for you and society. And so that's kind of the general, but the larger point is it came from cultural Marxism from the Frankfurt School. It was infused or injected into the academic classes. And then over the past 50 years through academia, it's now spread like a virus into the minds of young people, which I'm not saying that pathology is wrong either. Right. But let me tell you where I don't necessarily disagree with that. Some of that is true. Well, I guess all of it is true. I don't think that's the main thing. The main reason we have political correctness is two things. All right. One, people are lazy and those Marxists just found fertile soil. It's not a hard sell to people like, hey, free shit paid for by other people. And you deserve it because reasons, all right? Oprah and the Democrat Party are perfect. You deserve everything, girlfriend. Why? Because you're a girl, girlfriend, and those evil men, blah, 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 Democrats. Are you not as successful as you'd like to be? Yes. It's because of other people, not you, with different traits. That is because they're, oh, really? Yay. So it is inherent human laziness, which comes back from a survival mechanism because people weren't running marathons 10,000 years ago. They're trying, you know, food was pretty scarce. So laziness is not an immoral thing, except by today's standards. It is a natural biological instinct you have to survive. But that means if you say, hey, you don't have to work, that's very appealing to the survival psyche of every human out there. And so when Marxists or Democrat or just, you know, FDI, it doesn't have to be people from the Frankfurt School. We're like, ooh, I got an idea. It's not like a James Bond villain. It's just it was a natural consequence of in a democracy, which would be another, in addition to human laziness. Now you have democracy. Now whoever the politician is, hey, free stuff, everybody. Woodrow Wilson, FDR, Lyndon B. Johnson. Obama, and now more recently Biden. Yeah, that's going to sell. It's going to sell there really well too. But then there are also huge economic advances in the economy. Okay. And what that does is it basically raised everyone out of, you throw in the welfare state, you throw in advances in the economy, people are wealthier. We really don't have any problems. So instead of worrying about food, clothing, and shelter, and, you know, like, oh, okay, down the road is Jessup Jim, and he really is racist against black people. Tyrone Johnson, who like he doesn't have time to care about Jessup Jim, because Tyrone's got to go work at the factory in Detroit or whatever. He's got more important. He's got a family he got to take care of. Right now, that's all kind of taken care of, and you have marketing, advertising, particularly the media and the Democrat Party. You have democracy, where it's like, well, we could take the money from these people, and then the academic arm, heavily influenced by the Frankfurt School. Fine, I'll grant you that. Now you have a group of people that get worried and angry and ultimately pen their entire value over their traits. Okay, now they get to think about these petty things. And so instead of like, well, I'm a plumber and I'm a union worker or auto worker or something like that. Nah, the world's not perfect. Yeah, people aren't gonna. Now it's like, well, okay, everything's kind of bought and paid for. I'm taking care of what do I gotta worry about? What do I gotta do? Well, now you get to go on to loftier, more soft things. And so now you're offended by truly petty stuff that doesn't, well, I shouldn't say it doesn't matter, but it's not all that important in the grand scheme of things. But worse, if you're not working, you're not supporting yourself, and everything's kind of bought and taken care of, what gives you value? Well, then, now it's pre-programmed. Now you're told. And here it's very clear with school, K through college, what gives you value? Your traits. The way you were born. Or the traits you believe you happen to have, whether that, and Mark, it's not, you all think it's race and sex. It is not. It is so not. Because if you look at the latest part, the latest thing is what's your flavor of gender now? And then more recently, more common, so white boys can get into this as well, is what's your mental illness? What's your disability? So this has absolute, do not assume the premise, do not accept the premise coming from the left that it's race and sex or more, or sexual preference. It has nothing to do with it. It is traits, either you're born with or claim to have, that not only gives you value, but then gives you something to hide your laziness and otherwise unethical behavior behind it. And anytime anyone comes in and, I'll give you a perfect example. Let's say there's a guy who happens to be black, all right? Today, the most politically incorrect thing to tell that guy, let's also assume he's not like an engineer or something, like, let's just assume criminal record, every stereotype, criminal record, three baby mamas, wealth, whatever else. The worst thing you could say to that person is stop having kids you can't afford, get a real job, stop committing crime, right? Because they go, oh, you're racist. No, actually quite the opposite, because that is constructive criticism. You're trying to help that person out. Like, hey, which is, again, the advice you give everybody. Don't commit crime. And I throw in don't major in stupid stuff as well. Right? But because everyone is so conditioned to immediately be a victim and to run by, and to hide their illegal, unethical behavior behind, so they could get away with it. You know, oh, my God, all the excuses. That is where I would argue your political correctness comes from, because now all political, when you're accused of being politically incorrect, all you're doing really is one of two things. You're pointing out unethical behavior of people, or you're trying to actually help out people through constructive criticism. And either because, they put so much value in their traits, have been conditioned to be victims and that, or they're so soft that they're offended. Instead of saying, yeah, man, you're right, I ought to get my act together, I shouldn't do whatever, have kids I can't afford, commit crime, major in dumb stuff, be fat, right? Not necessarily evil or criminal, it's just laziness and sloth. You know, there's another perfect example. Hey, lose weight, ladies. You're sex. No, it's actually quite the opposite. I'm trying to help you. And no, I don't hate women. I'm trying to help you in the real world. But they then and the trick, I don't even think they're conscious, they immediately run behind their traits. And a lot of time, not just because they're conditioned and trained, because that's all they got. There's a chart out there. It's really sad. It shows like what your, Was it gender, ethnicity, whatever trait they were talking about? Like, how important is that to you? And yeah, it was race. And for Black people, it's like 90% was like really important. But to me, I'm like, that's kind of like the dumbest thing ever. Like, I don't like my whiteness. Like, I guess. I guess we celebrated St. Patrick's Day. I'm like, oh, wow, look at that. Oh, boy, hot diggity. Shucks, howdy, willikers. I'm a white guy. Like, I don't look at my peen all the time. Oh, wow, look at that gorgeous penis. I got more important things to do. But if you had nothing else and you were programming conditioned from K through college to think everything was about your trait, whatever your cause de jour, trait de jour was, anytime you receive any criticism that has nothing to do with your trait, right? You are now conditioned to immediately hide behind it and accuse somebody else of an ist or an ism or a bigotry or whatever. You know, and this is, and you could see it all the time. How many times have I told girls not to major in stupid stuff? That is not sexist. It is the opposite of sexism. It would actually help girls find it. But because their fifis are hurt, they will immediately, that's politically incorrect. Why do I have the balls to go and tell minorities not to have kids they can't afford and not to major in stupid stuff? Well, one, I don't care about being politically incorrect. All right. I'm also an empiricist. And the best way to help out people is to tell them the truth, because that's what's going to help them. And we have many young men, Latino, Hispanic, Black, whatever else, immigrants, you know, coming over. Whoa, what's going on? What are the rules here? Let me tell you what the rules are in the United States. Don't do these things. And they're thankful. They're happy because it helps. Because I'd like to think here on this channel, we're beyond, oh, look at that. Like, it's like, I got more important things to do to look at my peen and look at the back of my hand. But that's the thing. We are so soft and people are so conditioned and people are so eternally lazy that this, and here's where political correctness, one would make the argument it came, it originated from traits. Race, skin color, ethnicity, I won't even say religion, more recently, gender choice and mental disorders. But it has now moved on to simply being offended, right? And what it ultimately, so it has gone beyond traits. Now we're just protecting ego and pride. People do not want to be told they're doing things wrong, or they've done something that's evil or bad, or they just don't want to get caught. That's really what political correctness is. And now that people have ran behind a panoply of different traits, as well as I'm offended, you have insulted me, and they rely on other people's good nature to like not offend people and not want to be called a bigot. Now they get to go ahead and basically one, hide behind traits, but then two, also have people walk around eggshells and be politically correct. And so that's where I think political correctness has come from, where people consciously or unconsciously, or because they got nothing else in life, immediately take any kind of criticism, constructive or accusatory, and take umbrage because they want to keep it up. They want to protect their ego or the pride or keep up their unethical behavior. Right? And that's why I would say the origin. More human nature enabled by advances in technology and capitalism and more recently, and democracy. And then you have a academia professoriate that indoctrinates and trains everyone in. Now, as for Wise California, so much more politically correct. I only got one theory, and I'd say because they've been attracting the worst Americans since the 1960s. I think it is simple as that. You go before the 1960s, California was kind of like America. You know, it was a heavy R&D science technology area, you know, the nuclear facilities and aerospace and engineering and all that. And after that, IT obviously as well. But go back to Haight-Ashbury, the hippie movement, all the hippies moved out to California, and then they became the professors. And now they're the ones in charge. All the, of course, now they're slowly ceding control and power to old Gen Xers like what's his name, Gavin Newsom and all that. But that's why California is the most, because all the, well, not all, but the lion's share of the hippies and the dippies and the Marxists and the parasites, you know, the boomer types went out there and formed that culture. And now it's just, you know, and I would also say, I guess a little, another element, I guess I didn't think about this, but this is very prominent in the 80s. I would say Hollywood. Hollywood attracts, not only did the politics of California attract the worst America had to offer, but because Hollywood was out there, it also attracted and had disproportionate influence over the rest of the country because of his movies and all. But Hollywood attracted equally worthless people because, frankly, if you're an artist or actor, artist or whatever, actress, unless you're like, yeah, I'm going to be an accountant and work my way through and da-da-da. But, you know, if it works, it works. But if, like, you think, I'm going to be an actress, well, that's a, I'm going to be an actor, that's a pretty lazy mailing it in. So kind of like when people choose liberal arts as a degree, you're already pulling from a pretty poor pool. You know, why do most teachers suck? Because they're people who are too stupid to do anything else other than major in education. Well, I'm going to study theater. All right, well, there you go. All right, off to California you go. And in the 80s, getting back to the 80s, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go out to L.A. and be an actor. Ooh, look how popular. If you watch a whole spate of L.A.-based movies, like, look how cool L.A. is. Look at the girls in the bikinis. And, ooh, it's Riggs and Murtaugh coming around and Lethal this. And even Die Hard took place in Los Angeles. But California, that was the place to be. That was where the cool hip kids went. And kind of like how Seattle, like Kurt Cobain, got all the gutter punks and dredges and the emo kids of society go up to Seattle and kill themselves, basically, or just live on the street on Skid Row in their own feces. California also, through Hollywood, got inferior minds, weak, intellectually weaker minds to come out there. I'm going to be an actor. Vain minds. So that now, and to be popular with the kids, to be down with the kids, you got to espouse popular political beliefs. And in the before time, there were no actors and actresses didn't, you know, Gregory Peck didn't make an announcement about, oh, we gotta do something for the environment, that's why I'm donating money. Gregory Peck just looked good and banged Ingrid Bergman, I believe, by my gossip, my Hollywood ancient gossip is correct. But yeah, California just attracts, or in the past has attracted, some of the worst, lowest quality Americans, and now they're there. And now they're just like, oh, look how edgy we are. I mean, they banned weed whackers. Okay, good for them. Okay, have fun, California. Don't build roads. Don't do that. Don't do anything like that. But ban weed whackers. Glad we got that out of the way. But yeah, that's why they're, and what else do they have to live for? That's another thing. I don't mean the California people, but the California politicians. What else do they have to live for? They just got to, it's just to one up the previous generations of politicians. Is to one up themselves from last year. What crazy, edgy, leftist, politically correct thing can we do? I know, free whatever for whatever group of people. Because look, we're edgy and favoring this group of people over that group of people. Yeah. So that's why I say California is even more fertile ground for political correctness. So all right, there we go. Hey, speaking of Californians, when are you leaving, Juan? You gotta get your family out of there. Riffs from the Abyss, 666, $5. Thanks for your video. No problem, man. No problem. We're here. 7-step survival for $5. California is like the sixth plague that just spreads across the country, blindly voting our money away to the single moms. It's not just the single moms. It's anyone who doesn't work. Anyone doesn't want to work for a living. I mean, it's kind of like Detroit. I mean, you could just look at it and say, look, I'm not going to argue with your politics. I just don't even argue politics anymore because people view it as a religion. They got nothing else. So they're never going to give it up. But all I do is like, here's my political argument. Detroit. Okay, tell me when that works. Here's my political argument. Feces in the street. And you don't have Republican towns with feces in the street. You don't have heroin addicts, you know, passing out in the streets. Ask Juan. He's got a great Instagram account where he takes pictures of homeless people in San Francisco. you know, so, and then California, I'm just like, look at California. Traffic, crime, feces in the street. I mean, just what the working productive members of California tolerate, and they accept the politics too. It's like, wow, you are a slave to the parasite class there. You pay all your money in taxes. You have to abide by all these. You are not free at all. But by God, all you got is that darn religion of leftist socialism. That's all you got, huh? All right, keep following it and ruin your life living in California. I just point out, California doesn't work. Have fun. Is that your utopia? They're the most avant-garde. DJ Aftershock, $2. No, Massachusetts and Vermont is more PC than California. I could see that. I would think Connecticut, it's got to be up there too, right? Wouldn't Connecticut just be all virtue signaling, white people, trust fund managers, and hedge fund managers? Boo-da-boo, boo-da-boo. All right, that's it. We'll see you guys later. Toodles.